Here I have the kingdom of God will rule on earth as in heaven. Will you? God is going to rule. God is already ruling in earth as he does in heaven. The real question is, will you be a part of it? Will you be one that sits down like a coward, sit down like a spectator watching a football game, and then clap your hands at the end and say, we won? Or will you get in the battle? Will you get in with the ruling and reigning with God? Will you be one of those that say, let God arise? Or will you be one of those that say, it doesn't matter if God arise, he'll only rise after he comes back to earth, after there's a rapture, after everything's already done, then I'll join in. What? Where is it you going to end up being? That's the real question that we're going to be dealing with in our message today. Because one of them, I declare to you, is totally unbiblical. Father, by your mercy, by your grace and your power, arise. Arise in our hearts. Arise in our minds. Let us realize that you have called us unto good works. We're supposed to be your workmanship. We're supposed to be lights to the world, salt in the earth. We're supposed to judge one another according to your will. And we're supposed to be able to judge angels. We're supposed to be the expansion, and we're supposed to help expand your kingdom, just like a mustard seed grows into a tree. Forgive us where we've lacked, been slack, and acquiesced. Forgive us when we acted as if this is something that other people are supposed to do, but not us. That this is what the preachers are supposed to do, and not us. Forgive us when we acted like it was the world and the governments of this world that was supposed to rule and reign on this earth, and that your kingdom is irrelevant, except for in times of what we call church. Arise in our hearts, Lord. Arise in our minds. Strengthen us with might in the inner man. Heal us from the wickedness that often comes upon your people from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. Heal our bodies. Strengthen us. Bless us to be of service to you. Bless our assembly. Send your Holy Spirit to open our eyes, convict our hearts, give us resolve. Continually baptize us with your Spirit into Jesus. And we ask you by your power to continually allow your Son to baptize us in the Spirit. Refill us to your glory and honor and praise in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the magnificent one who ascended up on high, who took captivity captive, who received kingdom, dominion, majesty, and power, and he'll have it both now and forevermore. Amen and amen. I have the board set up in such a way that hopefully if you copy it down, you'll be able to go back and understand the thrust of the message, even if you don't understand everything that I say. In other words, remember, we're going to start with the kingdom of God will rule on earth
in heaven.
And then
it seems the best place to get a radiator.
Question, will you? Now, without contradiction, we know God controls the weather. We know he controls the movement of the celestial beings. We know that God is the one that allows each of us to have breath in our bodies. But often we don't think about God sets one person up to be king, president, dictator, whatever. We act as if God has nothing to do with that. But your Bible will not tell you that. The Bible teaches us that God does that. The Bible tells us that the very, what we they call atoms in our bodies and everything that grows, that we eat when we eat iron, when we eat zinc, when we eat copper, when we eat phosphorus, when we eat all those minerals, the Bible lets us know that all things are held together and consist by the word of God in such a way that plants can go in the ground and do something and pull up iron and we can eat it without it breaking our teeth. Glory to his everlasting name. How much more so than when we see our Bible telling us that God is spirit, and that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Son and from God, and he teaches and he helps us to understand what it is that the Lord Jesus taught, and that the Lord Jesus came from the Father and fulfilled all of those pictures that were given to show that the animal sacrifices, God allowed an animal to take our sins. And when the sin was justly dealt with, the smoke of the animal ascended up to heaven as if an individual had died, had been judged, and was right before God. The animals often would become what it's called a sweet smelling savor. But what do we think about that? If we're talking about God the Father accepting God the Son's sacrifice, sending his Holy Spirit to baptize us into the body of believers, how can we look at the Bible as not being a supernatural compilation of 66 books that God makes us understand how this world operates? That there are two sets of beings on the earth. There's the celestial heavenly beings. There are the earthly beings that were created from the earth. Psalm 68 actually goes through and shows that God deals with both. That God rules from his kingdom both. And it's not just when the end of the world comes. How can you reduce God Almighty to just the end of the world when the Bible starts out that there he is in the beginning? Bless his everlasting name that sits between the cherubim. Dree, if you will, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Start at the 27th verse for me. But I want you to see how I have this set up here while she turns to that. In the middle, I have the word rain. Why do I have the word rain? Not R-A-I-N, but R-E-I-G-N. Rain. That's what a king does. What I want you to understand about the kingdom of God is that God reigns. God reigns in his kingdom. Where? In heaven and in earth. But how does God orchestrate his reigning in heaven and in earth? We see in the scriptures he does it by what we call celestial beings. I just have them listed as angels, but you have seraph, seraphim, cherubs, cherubim. You have other different labels. Paul gives a list of them, principalities, powers. And then those that have done wrong, he gives them a different list of names. On earth, he does it by men. The Bible says when God created man in his image and his likeness, and according to Genesis chapter 1:26, when he talked about doing it, he said, let them have what? Dominion. Didn't he say it? Yes. That means reign. That's the God's mandate for man to have dominion over the earth. Josiah, young people, it's God's will for you all to rule on the earth. Not to be suckers. Not to be slapped around. Not to be abused. Not to let somebody else go in your mind and make you think that they're supposed to rule and reign over you. God's design. That's the real image of God there. The authority that man has given to rule this earth, not by what he thinks on his own. For Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. The earth belongs to God, and everything in it belongs to God and the man that he put in charge to rule it. His kingdom belongs to him. Then when? The biggest problem some people have is that the kingdom of God is going to come during what is called a millennial period, or when a rapture takes place. Where do you get the essentiality of perversity of that in the Bible? Did Adam have to wait to the end of the world? Did Adam have to wait to the end of the world? No. When God chose Abram out of all of those nations that he had scattered, son, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. Whoever blesses you in the earth will be blessed. Whoever curses you will be cursed, and by you, all nations of the earth will be blessed, to all families. Why is that? It's because you will teach people my ways. Genesis chapter 26 and 5, when God passed that on to Isaac, he said, because Abraham kept all my laws, my statutes, and my commandments, Abraham obeyed God. And if you read the Bible, Abraham would go somewhere and set up an altar. God let Abraham go against all of the nations of the world insofar as what he stood for, and fight against the people on earth in Genesis chapter 14. And the demons and the fallen ones that it caused there to be Nephilim, or giants in the land. He won. So we got God's kingdom. It's his. He reigns. Where? Heaven, earth, by angel and men. When? Past. Right now. And whatever the future will be. He reigns. Will you be a part of it? Is the question. You can either be under his feet, or you can be alongside with him singing, let God arise, because you're going to battle with him. Let God arise. Do you want to be a part of that? Or you want to be like, he's coming. He's coming. Oh, no. Mountains, hills, wilderness, caves, keep us from the one that's the Almighty. You got a choice. Then, how? How does he do it? How does he reign in the earth as well as in heaven? Through obedience. It's not optional for you to be a part of the kingdom of God to rule. It's mandated. Well, if you say, well, if you don't do it, it's optional. Oh, yes, if you want to be technical, but the penalty of such you don't even want to talk about it. It's so hard to describe. That sometimes it's called the blackness of darkness forever. Sometimes it's called unquenchable fire. And sometimes it talks about like a worm that's continually gnawing on you. And then another time it's talking about being away from the presence of the Lord. In other words, no sustainability for you forever. In other words, it is hard to explain. So it used all the pictures that could be used. Sometimes it's even called the bottomless pit. Well, we can say the word abusos, but the bottomless pit kind of fits in your mind better in English. He does it through obedience. He does it through faith in believing in him and his judgments. So that covers when you say, well, what about if I don't be obedient? His judgment will cover that. He reigns. What is his reigning about? It's about having dominion, the ability to dominate. He dominates the heavens, the earth, demons, and men. God is ruling this earth as he rules in heaven. Are you a part of it? Or do you just worship? Or do you just sing? Or do you just call yourself religious? Are you participating and making it on earth as it is in heaven? Because if you're not giving out righteous judgment when people don't want to hear it, when they're asking you questions, you are not exercising dominion. You are not doing obedience to God. You're acting like he doesn't rule on earth and use men. And that if he don't come and do it himself, it will not be done. You're telling a damnable lie. Reread that in 1 Corinthians 15. Start at the 27th verse and see if that's what I want right there, please.
For he has put all things under his feet.
God has put all things. If you don't believe that that's talking about Christ, you start out in the 15th chapter and the first verse, and it guarantees to like to quote that scripture. Moreover, brother, I declare unto you, and it goes through and talks about if Christ be not dead, then your faith is vain. And then it shows you Christ is reigned, and Christ is alive, and he does reign. So here, as he developed his argument, he says, oh, he must reign. Talking about Christ, God the Son must reign how long?
For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet.
Let God arise. Read some more.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet.
Now think about this. If the last enemy is death a person? Death is a punishment and a sentence. He has put death and personifies death as an enemy, and he put it under his feet. Now, and when he talks about all things, if you read Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says he is above, he is before all things. He's the head of principalities, spiritual beings. Somebody read, because when I quote it, I probably leave out one. Principalities and powers.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven.
All things. He is showing it's his kingdom, even from creation. Oh, I feel like I'm preaching today. Go ahead.
And that are in earth.
In earth. Are we right, Rich? It's heaven and earth. He is king. He's ruling. What else?
Visible and invisible.
The things you see and the things you don't see. He dominates. He rules over the very air you breathe. He rules the very rain that can douse you in such a way and you don't even see it coming. Make you run off the road if you're going too fast. Visible and invisible. Read some more.
Whether they be thrones.
Thrones. Talking about spiritual beings in the position of ruling or dominating an area or a part of the world that God allows them to rule. What else?
Or dominions.
Dominions. We're talking about the ability to rule in the spiritual realm as well as in the human realm. What else?
Or principalities.
Principalities, those that rule just like princes rule under their kings. Now, if you don't understand that, you have to go through the book of Daniel one day and see Daniel pray. I believe it is in Daniel 7. Is it Daniel 7 where he prays? Chapter 9, thank you, Rich. I knew it was in the book of Daniel, where Daniel prays, and the principality of Persia, you know, he's holding back. The prince is coming, that's the prince of Israel. I'm just saying, when Paul talked about principalities and powers, understand what that means, because when I was young, I didn't understand it. But I kept reading, and I kept learning. And I kept taking knowledge from people that knew more than I did till I understood. Read some more, Dree.
Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
If he's before all things, and by him all things consist, this is his kingdom. Now, you can understand that there's a kingdom of the devil. There's a kingdom of man. But understand all of those are sub-kingdoms. All kingdoms are under him. That's why when she goes back to 1 Corinthians 15, 27, you'll understand the thrust of our message right there. Read it again, Dree.
For he has put all things under his feet.
He is God the Father. He has put all things under God the Son. Read some more.
But when he said, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things.
God is not under the Son. He is the exemption. Got it? When they say he is accepted, he is the exemption. God the Father is not under God the Son. God the Son is under God the Father, because he speaks what the Father says. He does what the Father says. He always honors the Father, so much so he said, when you look at me, you've seen the Father. For the Father is spirit. I'm flesh. I'm flesh. I'm flesh and spirit. So you want to see the Father? Look at me. Look at him radiating through me. When they look at you, Rich, Tim, Andrina, do they see Christ? Do they see him? Because sometimes people see Christ and don't know they see Christ, but they fighting against you because they see Christ. They don't know him. They don't know if the princes of this world had known who he was, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 2, verse 8. Read some more of the sweetest word of God, because I love it so well.
And when all things shall be subdued unto him,
mm-hmm.
then shall the Son also himself be subject under him.
When everything is done, he's going to submit himself back to the Father. What else?
That put all things under him, that God may be all in all.
Thank you. Was that enough? Was there a little bit left on that? I've already made my point. I want you to go to Psalm 68. We covered Psalm 68 about the first 14 verses on Thursday. And when we talked about it on Thursday, the two things that I wanted to be brought out was that our desire for the righteous should be the same as God's desire for the righteous, and our desire for the wicked should be the same as God's desire for the wicked. So we should have a desire for the righteous, that God would do his will, a desire for the wicked, that God would do his will, and our desire should be equal to God's. Today, instead of continuing that same wording, I use this word. The kingdom of God will rule on earth as it is in heaven. Will you? If your desire is not with God's desire, you will not rule with him. You'll come down in this land where God dominates, not dominate, but how he deals and rules the world through his judgments. If your desire for the wicked is not what God's desire is, you will still be one under his judgments. You cannot make judgments that go against what God says is wicked and righteous and worthy of death or worthy of praise and rule this world. God rules through his judgments, his standards, his laws, and his righteousness. There's no other way for us to rule. You can clap your hand, roll on the floor, speak in tongues, spit out spit, or whatever it is you do when you go to church. That don't make you rule. That's not kingdom work. That's rejoicing if you do that. And I'm not that big. I'm not big on speaking in tongues and rejoicing in tongues. Paul said it was a sign of a curse. Paul said it was for them that believe not, not for them that believe. You want to talk about it with me afterwards? We can do that. Psalm 68, Dre. Let's read this sweet word of God. It's so pretty.
What verse is
there? Start at verse 1.
Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish in the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rides upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah.
I just want you to see right here, we've covered this on Thursday. So if you missed it, you can go back and get it. But the thrust of this is to look at how God operates. Look at how he acts. And look at how weak his enemies are before him. And therefore, we should rejoice when God is operating from a standard from a standard of authority and dominating his people. And we should be in on it and singing his praise and asking him to do more and more and do it through us as well. And then the psalmist goes back and talk about what you have done before. Read some more, Jerry.
The earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God.
That just shows you right there that God has the rule over the earth, not just men on the earth, not just the celestial beings that come and visit on earth that encamp round about us. The very earth itself, he dominates it. He rules it. Sometimes he'll make it open its mouth and swallow somebody. You think it only did it in the Bible, don't you? What about when sinkholes happen in different parts of the world and swallow people? You think he has nothing to do with that? Then you don't know him. Read some more.
The earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary.
All I'm going to give you on that right there is because God rules in this world, he feeds and takes care of his people. And if you don't realize it's God feeding and take care of you and giving you the abundance of what you need, even a chastisement when you need it, you're not acting like you're part of the kingdom of God. You're acting as if you have some authority somewhere, some sustenance somewhere other than God. And it's wicked and it's ungodly. In everything, we're supposed to give thanks to him. That's the will of God concerning us that are part of the kingdom, the ones that are going to do his will. Read some more, Dream, so pretty.
Thy congregation has dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace.
We're not going to go all through that, but I'm just letting you see right here, as the writer goes back and gives us a litany or a list of the things that God has done. When you go back and look at that, you see that God in his kingdom, his rule on earth, those kingdoms or those rules and authorities on earth, they flee from God when God is doing this thing. It's only when God allows them to raise up in their arrogance, to raise up like a big piece of wax, can they look like they all of that. But when he puts the heat on them, they melt. God is the one let them be like a room filled with smoke. And when he blows the fan, they are gone. They're just a memory. Just like the people today, when we think we're all of that. James, the brother of Jesus, said, our life is just like a vapor. Kind of look like smoke. Pierce for a little while, and it's gone. Read some more of the word of God. We're talking about God today, his kingdom, his rule. He rules. Are you a part of that kingdom? This is a victorious kingdom. This is a glorious kingdom. We are a part of the kingdom of God. Don't let nobody make you think you got to wait and die and go to heaven and all that to be a part of the kingdom. That's hellish. Let me say it like James, the brother of Jesus, said, it's sensual. It's earthly and it's devilish. That wisdom is not from above. Read some more, Dre, because I'm wide open enjoying this. I'm enjoying this myself because I'm preaching to me. Read, Dre.
Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil.
I'm going to tell you now. If you all are familiar with, and I told you this the other night, I'm not going to tell you everything I told you the other night, else you won't need to listen to the podcast. But I'm going to just tell you, when Sisera got killed after Jael killed Sisera, and Deborah was talking about what the women normally do and how they wait for the spoil when it comes back to health and enjoy, I'm going to tell you this, that our king, when he does what he does to principalities and power and to the wicked, he gives a gift to us. He divides the spoil with us. the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. According to Daniel, God raises up and he gives it to whoever he will, and who can stop his hand? Name him. Name him. Nebuchadnezzar that came before Daniel ever got to say that Nebuchadnezzar ran his mouth, before he ever said that, Daniel knew who ruled and who reigned. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How do I know that Daniel knew before it happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Because he got that dream, remember, of the tree. And God said, I'm going to cut you down. I'm going to cut you down, and I'm going to let you be like an animal. Read some more of the sweet word of God. It's so delicious and precious. Are you all tasting it?
Yes, sir.
Read some more there. Let's taste some more.
Though you have lain among the pots, yet shall you be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow and salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan.
This is kind of where we stopped. So let's bring us up to date here. Though you have lain with the sheepfold, yet shall you be as the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with gold. When you see that, you also have other manuscripts that talk about the enemies fleeing like that. But I won't go into it deeply. I just want you to see one word here. When the Almighty, when El Shaddai scattered kings, it was white as the snow of Salmon. I read that mountain Salmon was dark, like the color of a volcanic stuff had been on it. And they explained that sometimes they feel that God had sent snow and killed the enemies. Or at other times, they said the bodies of like that bleached white was there. But the point was the enemies, just like snow melt, gone. This is the God we serve. Do you have enemies now? Do you have enemies that are fighting against you because of God? Let me tell you, if he can do that to armies and kings, what about your little friends? What about your little family members? What about the United States? You think the United States is all of that? Do you? Because if you do think the United States is all of that, if God removes his sustaining hand, it'll be just like Egypt, like a reed that somebody leaned on and it jams in their hand and cuts them asunder. It's because of God the United States has this power right now. It's because of God right now that we have an electric grid. If God moves his hand, this earth can quake right here and quake all the way around the world. And nobody can stop it. It couldn't stop the flood. Read some more, Dream.
The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, a high hill as the hill of Bashan.
I talked to you all, and it was very important for me to help you all see that on the spiritual side of this, the people during this time understood that Bashan was considered to be the place where the giants was, because we know about Og of Bashan, and it was considered to be the place where the demons had lived. Now, one of the things I didn't do, and I said, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to show you. I'm going to validate what I told you all. Now, this is not going to be in your Bible. But historically, this is how the Jewish people believe. And when I say Jewish, I'm going to say the Hebrew people. I don't know about those people over there that are part German. They say they're Ashkenaz. So I'm talking about before the Lord Jesus came to the earth, and where Peter quotes out of this book of Enoch, and where Jude quotes out of this book of Enoch about the angels that sin. But I'm going to give you a little background of what was being said. I'm only going to read a paragraph out of Enoch, 1st Enoch 6, 1 through 5. You can write it down. You should be able to pull it up on the web if you don't own it. It's just some information that I want you all to be able to have so that you can have a clue. Enoch 6 and 1. And it came to pass when the children of men had multiplied in those days, were born unto them beautiful, comely daughters. And the angels, the children of heaven, saw and lusted after them and said one to another, come, let us choose wives from among the children of men and beget us children. And Shemjazah, who was their leader, said unto them, I fear ye would not indeed agree to do so this deed. and I alone shall have to pay the penalty for this great sin. And they answered him and said, let us all swear oath and bind ourselves by mutual imprecation, that's curses, not to abandon his plan, but to do this thing. Then they swear all together and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. Now, the point that I want you to see is this is something that these beings have been reported to have said and that they agreed to do. Listen to the sixth, chapter six, what they will have is verse six. And they all, you say they were in all 200 who descended in the days of Jared on the summit of Mount Hermon. And they called it Mount Hermon because there they had sworn and bound themselves by mutual imprecations. And the names of their leader, and I'm not going to go through, there's a lot of them, but that's where you get some of the names. You'll find if you use some of these names, like the names of the Ninja Turtles, but all of them had names like El because they were considered to be sons of God. Now, why would I read this to you and you say, well, this is not in the Bible? I'll read to you all stuff from Canaanite literature. I'll read to you stuff from Babylon or the cuneiform. I'll read you stuff out of Bible dictionaries and Bible encyclopedia to let you know what was going on in the world. If the Bible right now was being written and we were only talking about the people that we have seen in our life right now, that we have seen personally, but somebody else had written something about Bush if you hadn't seen him in person, it would not mean that Bush did not coexist when we existed. So therefore, anything that we had mentioned about Bush, if it didn't say a whole lot about Bush or Trump or Obama, you would look in the same time period and what did other people, was there really a man named George Bush or Herbert Bush or whatever? Was there really a man named Barack Obama? And you could read and see what was going on. And once you understood what was going on, you would understand why the people that were the people of God, if it were being written about, those of us who love God now, saying, we don't like that they gave money to Planned Parenthood. We don't like, because God say that man and the woman that God made in Matthew chapter 19, and this is what God designed for marriage. So when I read this kind of stuff to you, I want you to understand, if you're going to understand the Bible world history, it's going to be important for you to understand what was going on. And then you read in your Bible to see what God's interpretation was of it. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Because a lot of times, you know, do I want to read this? Do I want to keep this from there? Yes, I want to read it. Because you're in a world with internet. You're in a world where people are trying to make fun of your Bible. And they throw that up and say, I never heard of it. It automatically say, it can't be true. So if it's not, just because it's not in the Bible, don't mean a lot of the history in what you're reading is not going to be true. We did the same thing when we went from Malachi to Matthew. We talked about the intertestamental period on the Antiochus Epiphanes and those different ones that had come under Alexander the Great. Enough talking. Now let's go back to the, and so we were in that verse, read that 15th verse again about Bashan, because I was talking about the demons.
The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, a high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, you high hills? This is the hill which God desires to dwell in.
I do need you to understand, I don't know why the King James Version or the Authorized Version use the word leap. I don't understand if the leaping has something to do with envy or they're being upset. But if somebody have the New American Standard, well, my computer finally opened to it. Listen to how it's written in the New American Standard Version. And I did go behind the English to make sure that this is the meaning of the word. So it says in verse 16, why do you look with envy, O mountains with many peaks, at the mountain which God has desired for his abode? Surely Yahweh will dwell there forever. I want you to understand that those beings, those demons, They wanted to take God's place. They didn't want God to have the rule. Now, someone would say, Tim, how do you go from saying you're not really sure? You're reading something from Enoch and say, you're not saying that's what the Bible says. All but contraire. Deuteronomy 32 tells you that the other nations served demons. Didn't it do it? And we understand there was only one nation that was God, that was his inheritance. That was the same God that came to Abraham. We know there were other gods because Richmond spent a lot of time in Exodus. All of us should have already read Exodus. The only one I'll exempt will be Isabella. But God said he was fighting against the gods of the Egyptians, not against the myths of the Egyptians, not against the statues of the Egyptians. He said the gods, didn't he say it? So therefore, when it's talking about envy to the world, those Mount Hermon, they say that thing looked beautiful, much bigger, larger, and all of that. And so he's speaking in such a way as if the mountains itself could be jealous of Mount Zion. Because it's not big, because it's not noble, because it's not mighty. Oh, but when God chooses something that's not big, that's not mighty, and say, I'm going to put my blessing on you. I'm going to let you be a representation of me ruling, of my kingdom. It doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter if you don't seem to be taught like other people. But can people take note that you've been with Jesus? Can they take note that you've been in the blessed word of God? If they can, then they get the opportunity to see that God is ruling. His kingdom is ruling on earth as it is in heaven, and you're part of it. This is showing the sovereignty of God and his power over that which men and demons would choose to put over mankind. Does that help a little bit? Move to 17, please.
The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place.
I'm going to give you the short version of this. In Galatians 3 and 19, the Bible said God gave his commandments, and he did it. He transmitted it by angels. Hebrews chapter 2 will tell you that if the word spoken by angel was steadfast and every transgression received a just recompense of reward, probably around Hebrews 2 and 2, 2 or 3, I know it is. And it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first was spoken by the Lord and confirmed by those that heard him? I want you to understand when you read Hebrews chapter 2, it comes off the heel of chapter 1, showing you the magnificence of Christ, the power of Christ, and that Christ got the inheritance. This is his kingdom, and that God calls him God and says his throne is forever, and the scepter of his kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. When it goes to chapter 2, it lets you know that the very thing that God gave to Moses and to the people and was transmitted by the angels, he allows you to understand that that was steadfast, that was sure, but there was something coming after that. That's why he said we ought to get a more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, because now you've heard who Jesus is. Chapter 3 will validate what I'm saying. It compares what God gave to Moses and those people in the wilderness and compare with all his blessing and his kingdom ruling over Egypt and the other kingdom that they came into Canaan and took over, and compares it to what God has done through Jesus Christ when he told his disciples, go into all the world and preach and teach and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even to the end of the world. This is my world, my kingdom. Go rule it for me. Go do it. The dominion mandate is given. You teach the nations. You don't let them tell you. You don't let them give you your morality. You don't let them tell you what to say. You say what I say. You take the lead and authority. Woo! I want to say so much more, but I'm going to stop right there. Read the next verse, Tree.
Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits.
What I want to do is I want to give you the version, because we went over this on Thursday. Probably need to have Dre read a couple of verses from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Now I want you to understand what's taking place. On the earthly realm, God told Abraham, when he was still Abram, know of a certainty that your seed will dwell in a land, and there'll be strangers in it, and they're going to be overcome, and they're going to abuse them. Not we didn't use the word abuse them, but he's going to be evilly mistreated. But afterwards, they will come out with spoil. What? Then he said they'll come out with great substance? Didn't it say it? Yeah. Somebody help me. Then he said they're going to come out with great substance. But when we read what happened, I wiped the sweat off my hand without a tissue on that one. They came out with the stuff so well that the Bible said they spoiled the Egyptians. There was so much stuff, Rich. When they got ready to build the tabernacle, they had plenty of gold to make the Ark of the Covenant. They had plenty of gold to overlay the pole. They had plenty of gold for the incense altar. They had bronze. They had brass. They had Egyptian linen. They had badger skin. They had everything that they need. And you know what else they had? They had jewels to get the high priest garment. They had silver. How you know that, Tim? Because they had every one of those poles in silver. Oh, glory to his everlasting name. He spoiled those demons. Hear me. He spoiled those demons. He spoiled those people that followed the demons and gave gifts to his children. And it wasn't just for them. It was so that they could show that the kingdom of God ruled on earth. So much so when Rahab the harlot heard about it, we know your God. The men don't have any spirit in them. They don't have any mouth to fight against you. And I'm just trying to be one of you all. What can I do to be one? I like your God. I like the way he rules his kingdom in earth as in heaven. And the ancient world knew that, Rich. You can't read what we call the Old Testament and not see that those nations felt that their gods were fighting against the Israelite gods. Oh, if you read the Bible and you miss that, you miss some of the sweetest stories you ever seen. Way better than Marvel Comics. Way better than DC. Way better than Superman, Batman, The Flash, Luke Cage, The Mighty Thor. We're talking about the mighty God. He's going to let you be a supernatural hero. You were supposed to represent Christ. You were supposed to be a deliverer to those that are afflicted. You were supposed to be bringing water to the thirsty. You were supposed to be bringing about judgment. You don't need a cape. All you need is his spirit. Oh, I wish we would understand that the kingdom of God rules on earth as it is in heaven. Tree, read some more before I get carried away.
You still want me in Ephesians?
I want you in Ephesians 4 and 8, because now we've already explained what it is, and I'm going to show you the other side.
Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he ascended.
We're talking about Christ. Let's don't get confused, okay? Because we talked about that on Thursday. What else?
What is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven.
Christ came down from earth and he ascended far above all earth and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's what that's talking about. You think I'm lying? Read Hebrews chapter 1 through 6. 1 through 3 will give you all you need. Chapter 1 verses 1, 2, and 3. But we've gone through that a lot so she can keep reading.
That he might fill all things keep reading in Ephesians.
Yes, you got one more, two more to go.
And he gave some apostles.
He gave the gift of being an apostle.
And some prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And some evangelists. And some pastors and teachers.
For what?
For the perfecting of the saints.
So for the maturing of the saints. When we going to grow up. You all know that I've taught you that maturity is the thing that Solomon prayed for. I don't know how to judge between good and evil. Give me a wise and understanding heart, please, so I can judge. We understand that when you don't know the difference between good and evil, that's why the children and the children of Israel, they were not destroyed with their parents. They didn't know good judgment yet, so he destroyed the elder that should have known good judgment and put them to death. And then Hebrews chapter 5 tells you when you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again. We be the first principles of the oracles of God and have become such as need milk and not meat. But strong meat belongs to them who by reason of kingdom use have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. You want to do God's kingdom work? You want to rule for God on earth just like he did in the past when he exercised his judgment? You want to do it now? Learn to be obedient. Learn to have faith. Learn his judgments, and he'll let you dominate in this world. Even if people don't know you're dominating. Daniel was dominating in Babylon. Read it carefully. Read it carefully. You'll find out God killed every one of the satraps, 120 of them. Didn't he do it? Killed every daggone one of them. And Daniel was the one that set it up again. So when the Lord Jesus comes on the scene, they've been taught by Daniel. And way back then, they said, we've seen this star. We were in the east. We saw this star in the east and have come to worship him who was talked about in the book of Numbers when Balaam talked about the star of God. All glory to his name. Rich, when we going to dominate for God? Not according to our will, but the will of him that sent. Read some more, Dree. No, don't read no more. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Gave gifts to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us gifts he gives. You think that the gifts of healing are for you? It's for kingdom dominance. You think the gifts that he gave us of helps? Do you think that the gifts he gave us of knowledge and forethoughts are for us? No, it's for us to do the kingdom work. Last week we talked about pray for God to bless you so that you can teach the way so that you can be a blessing to the nations. What other gifts did he give? Those who grew up in the church that I used to go to, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. 5 and 22, book of Galatians. He gave gifts. The point that I was making, and it's so poignant, is that he spoiled the people in Egypt, gave gifts to his people for his service. Christ spoiled principalities and powers and gave gifts to us to build his kingdom. And if you don't believe it's to build his kingdom, we're not talking about the earthly tabernacle. The second chapter of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 through about 24, tells us we're supposed to grow up into a holy temple unto the Lord. Let's go back to the 68th Psalm. I love this psalm. And she read this verse, and I'm going to read it in NASB. Blessed be the Lord who bears our burden, the God who is our salvation. Do you all know it doesn't say that like that in KJV? Mm-hmm. What it says in what we call the King James Version or the Authorized Version, it says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. The point being made, again, when I see a discrepancy, then what I do is I look at it and I see, what is it saying? It is God bearing our burdens. But what are we looking at? What we're looking at is God versus the gods of the ancient world. Now, I'm not going to read all of this to you, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to help you by telling you, then I'm going to give you the reference. What happens is in the ancient world, they would have to bear their gods. They would have to lift their gods up. They would have to make their gods, bear their gods, take their gods from place to place, but not so with Yahweh. They would have to either carry them on the cart, carry them and put up a tree, make some kind of statue. But it's a blessed be the Lord who carries us. He bears our burdens. And when we learn to love God like we should, we bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of who? Christ. That don't mean you dump your burdens off of me and you go somewhere else. You're going to keep getting in trouble, keep messing up your life, throwing your life into shambles, keep being stupid, and I'm supposed to do everything? No, but I'm supposed to help you bear it. How do I help you bear it? I help you with the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. We pray together. Sometimes I might have to help, but what I do is try to teach you what God does to make us strong. He gives us his word. He teaches us wisdom. The Bible says the simple believe every word, but the wise person, he looks into it. That's how you grow. That's how you get powerful. That's how we do these things. And the God that we serve, bless his everlasting name, that sit between the cherubim, we don't have to bear him. He bears us. And I love it. Read the next verse, please.
He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death.
I want you to check out one thing. Remember, I want you to know God does deliver us from death. We know that. John chapter 5, 24 and 25 lets you know if you believe in Jesus, he delivers you from death, right? We believe if a man believe in God, he'll never die. But in the Melu, or the time span when this was written, what would that have meant to David and to those people in that area that had Baal and Molech and Asherah? I want to read you something from the Word Biblical Commentary. I like this article so much, I said, yeah, let me copy it down. It says here, two things I wanted to give you. I did want to give you all a reference from carrying their gods, and I didn't give that to you. Isaiah 46 and 7 is one, where they would bear him on their shoulders and carry him and sit their God in a place where he would stand, and he couldn't move after that. And then the other one would be Isaiah 63, verse 9, where it talks about where they were afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them, and in his love and pity he redeemed them. And then in this case, God bare his people. There's a difference in the way that God's operating. One has to be carried, and the other one can carry his people. Without going more deep into that, let's look at this beautiful script, this beautiful, not script to this point. Yahweh is also the God of deliverance, even from death, which means he provides a way of escape from death. Perhaps we should capitalize on death. And it talks about it in Psalm 68, 121, to show that it carries a connotation of the Canaanite lord of the underworld, Mot, the chief foe of Baal, in his consort, Anath, in Ugaritic accounts. Mot is the god of all that lacks life and vitality, who leaves the land desolate when he is away from it and spreads death. His habitation is either the deadly areas of sun-scorched desert or the dark and wet, slimy regions of the netherworld. Of course, the point is in Isaiah 68 is that Yahweh, not Baal, can deal with Mot. Did you get it? Whether you believe in Mot or whatever, understand that all demons and that Satan is the father of death. He is a murderer. Therefore, his demonic beings are coming about to bring about death, whether he is called Mot or whatever. Now, if they have personified one as Mot, understand that's their culture. But understand, David knew, because God had given a lot of nations to be under David, that God is the one that gives life. God is the one that sustains. That's why David can say in Psalm 27 and 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. David can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Elijah, I don't fear no evil. Paul says, Philippians 1:23, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. ain't scared of death. Having a desire to depart and be with the Lord and stay here with you is better for you. So I don't even know which one to choose. I ain't scared. Jesus said, don't be scared. Don't fear man that can kill the body. And that's all he can do. Because Yahweh is still in the business of raising the dead. Bless his everlasting name. If you go back to Psalm and read some more. That I wanted that come out about that escaping death. God is able. Read some more. That's so pretty.
He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death.
Now, what I want you to understand, God is the one that gives life. And Jesus is the one that gives life. And John says in his prologue, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And guess what? The darkness, no matter what being it is, can never overcome him. Do you like it? Do you love him? Are you ready to rule with him? We're talking about a living God. We're talking about a living kingdom. And we're talking about we can't even be put to death and be done away with. Oh, they can kill the body, but that doesn't end it. No. They rejoice. Hebrews chapter 12, 22, talk about the angels. I mean, the spirits of just men that's already made perfect. We're not going to turn there. Go back to Psalm and read some more of that sweet psalm, please.
But God shall wound the head of his enemies and the hairy scalp of such an one as goes on still in his trespass.
Now, I don't want to scare you all, but we're going to have to stop at verse 21. I wanted to finish the chapter, but I decided not to. There's some good stuff I got to say. So when we get through with these two verses, I want to say it before I finish. I want it to resonate in our minds. God's kingdom is going to rule in earth as it is in heaven. It's going to rule in heaven as in earth. The real issue is, are you going to be a part of it? And we say the Lord is blessed. He bears our burdens. He is the God of our salvation. Why is he the God of our salvation? It's because a death penalty was placed on all mankind. Whether man knows it or not, he needs deliverance. Whether man knows it or not, he's under the death penalty of being damned forever. But God, in his revealed word, lets us know why, lets us know how, provides the remedy, tells us what the remedy is, and then gives us the strength to walk through and do what's necessary to live for him. Blessed everlasting name. And it says, he is the God of our salvation. Unto God the Lord belong the issues of death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies. What does that sound like? Crushing the head. Yeah. Now I heard Dr. Moorcraft say one time, Golgotha is called the place of a skull. And that they put the cross in the skull. It's just like, bam, like you put a hole in somebody's skull. I never thought of that on my own. But isn't that a pretty imagery? You think it's accidental? I think not. But didn't I start out having dream read? He's going to subdue all of his enemies. And when all of his enemies are subdued in death of the last one, he's giving the kingdom back to the Father. Now understand, for us, Jesus gave his disciples power to tread on scorpions. That don't mean you go out there bare feet and walk on scorpions. You have to understand what the scorpions are. Scorpions is a type, not only a type of whip, but it's a type of person that's against God. He gives us power to fight against the wicked one. And we're not using our hands. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, Paul says in Ephesians. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we use his words. We cast out every imagination and high things and bring it subject to the reign of God. In other words, in like the old time children used to say, I shall not be moved just like a tree. Don't sing a lie. Because sometimes we don't understand that he gave gifts to men and apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, until a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? That we don't be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and sliding craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You saying I shall not be moving. Everybody got a doctrine. Everybody got a Jesus. Everybody got a doctrine and a way of salvation. Everybody got a tongue. Everybody got a prophecy. But nobody wants to teach the law of Christ. No one said you got to obey. I'm going to say it. I'm going to raise up on my hind legs like a horse. See me do it? The Bible says that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. And then it says, the Lord will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people from the depths of the sea. God is going to bring about people being subject to him in his kingdom that is scattered throughout the world. And then it says, the Lord, I'm going to stop there. Because I want the victory of him dipping his feet in blood, and that's just too pretty. But let me end with this. I listened to Dr. Moorcraft preach a sermon, and I listened to different ones that talk about stuff, and I read stuff. But he said something that stuck out to me, and it made my heart sad. He talked about people that's waiting for the end of the world to come. And so they wait for the end of the world to come, the rapture. And so they live like tomorrow doesn't matter. He talks about our Congress and our Senate. They're going to spend up a lot of money and do a lot of things as if we live for now, don't care about the future. He talked about the people in Lexington that did the fighting, that they fought against the other armies when Europe ran America. And said if those people had thought like that, that the rapture was coming and you don't want to do anything for the kingdom now, the people would have. What shape would we be in? But I thought about those that share the ethnicity that I have. If it hadn't been for people like Sojourner Truth that believed that God was able to execute righteousness and judgment in the land now, if they had said, this is the end of the world, it's over, there's nothing I should do, where would we be now? We would probably not even exist. Or they would be raping us still, taking everything that we have. We'd still be living under plantations, probably still eating the worst of the chitlins, probably chitlins of dogs, because they would have dominated us and done everything wicked to us. We had turned our back on the Lord God, who is blessed forever. Amen. And we were being thrashed by him. If it hadn't been for people that had stood up like Frederick Douglass, and even the wickedness that Nat Turner did, his purpose was that you all are not going to always rape us. You're not going to always beat us. And I don't agree with everything that he did. But let me tell you, if you look at what he did from the vantage point that they had declared war on us. My point being made, when we serve God, we understand this war. You don't sit down and be a chump. You don't sit down and just sing. You find out what God said and you do it. You stand up against evil with your words and with your life. Don't give occasion of enemies to blaspheme against God. Don't do it. But you say, Tim, how? How can I do it? How can I represent the kingdom of God and I'm scared? Well, I don't know as much about the Bible as you do. I don't have as many books in my library as you do. Think this thought. United Nations, come together. All these different people, let's say if China came, Russia came, Belgium came, France came, Canada came, and they all sat down at the table and we're going to discuss how to have world peace. And they sit at this magnificent table and it's being televised. And in walks in Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And he sits down at the table. Now, can you imagine Jesus sitting down at the table? I'm going to have an opinion, too, with you all. And we'll discuss what it's going to be. And then we'll take a vote. And whatever votes the most, I'll go along with it. Can you see the Lord of glory doing that?
Can you see it, Rocio? Can you see it, Naomi? Well, what about when black people are complaining about what has been done to us by white people? So we get the group together called Black Lives Matter. We get to get the group together called whatever the group is. We bring Planned Parenthood in there, and we can bring Antifa in there and the Black Panthers, and we get the leaders of those groups. And here comes Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And they sit down at the table, and they're going to discuss what's going to be. Do you think he's going to say, well, I just want to have an opinion too, so that I can put my two cents worth in and then see what we're going to do? Do you see that in him?
No.
So what about when you get upset with your wife, your husband, your brother, your sister, your co-worker? What do you do? Is it just between you and them? Do you not know enough about the scripture? But Jesus is just giving an opinion. Jesus, the Lord of glory, don't give opinions. He gives commands. He speaks. His word abides forever. If you are having an argument with somebody and you don't see him and you don't look at his word as being the final arbiter, you might as well join any political group, Planned Parenthood, Antifa, Republican, Democrat, Marxist. When you have a Marxist ideology and you believe that the state should own all radio frequencies, all property, that's just like sitting at a table to determine how we're going to rule America, and you got Karl Marx in there. Then when you got another one, like a socialist, whichever one you want to choose, whether you're going to be Che Guevara or whatever, it's like you got him sitting at the table. And if you decide, well, we're going to rule it by Sharia law, it's like you got Muhammad sitting at the table. And if you decide that you want to rule it by the Constitution of the United States, it's like you got that sitting there. And I can keep going. But in your mind, before you let those groups tell you how to act, what to think, what about God's kingdom rule in heaven as an earth? What about him sitting at the table? When you see him sitting at the table as he is in his magnificence and power, he's not asking to be included. He comes in to take over the meeting. That's his kingdom rule. If you all decide to just let him have an opinion, and that his opinion is worth no more than anybody else, he'll rule this kingdom by his judgments that he executes on you and me. Every argument we have with somebody, you need to start thinking about he's sitting there too. What did he say? Are you a part of the kingdom? God's kingdom is going to rule on earth just like it is in heaven. Will you participate in it? Is he there with you in the ruling? Is he there in the ruling? I know when Dr. Moorcraft asked his people something similar that I could imagine, but I thought about what we deal with? What we deal with? Because you know family will try to move you away and act like God hasn't spoken, but he has spoken. With that, I want to end our message for today. And then we'll talk about his judgments, how he judges those that don't want to be a part of his kingdom, don't want to be a part of his kingdom rule, those that abdicate the responsibility and say, well, he'll take care of it himself one day. I don't have to be in it. We'll find out. We'll find out what will happen to you as well as those that rebel. It's not an option. He's at the table of all leaders, of all demands for peace, of all things that demand justice. Father, thank you for your blessed, righteous word. Arise, Lord. Arise in our hearts that we can fall in your procession and be grateful for the gifts that you have given us so that we can walk in your truth, knowing that you rule now, know that you rule in earth, knowing that you rule in heaven and that you'll do it through obedience
and faith, and that you've given us the dominion mandate. And all we have to do is obey and speak what you have spoken to situations, and you'll do the rest. Amen. Amen. Even so. Amen. I'll now open our class for discussion. If there's any discussion to be had today, any rebuttal?
There was a verse that said something about lying with the pots. You said lying with the sheep.
The sheepfold, the word up under the English is sheepfold.
The pots.
I don't understand how they do it. I probably, if I went through, looked at some of my exegetical commentaries, mm-hmm. where they deal with the linguistic stuff, but sometimes they require a lot of work. So I look at the word, see what it is. I got ways to look it up, and then if I decide to take extra, see why they did it at that particular time. But God's people are his sheep. See, it may have been that they would have pots out there with the sheepfold. I don't know. That's one I'm ignorant about. Anybody else know? Why you don't know, Rich? I'm looking at you like you should know. Naomi, you got anything to say, Precious? Josiah, are you going to be a part of the kingdom, or are you a part of the kingdom? Do you want some of my water? I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm getting ready to ask Gabriel. Gabriel, you part of the kingdom? Okay. What about that lady that's sitting directly behind you? You got anything to say today? I do too. I was preaching to me. It's always pressure from every group that don't like God, don't want him to rule, for you to shut up and to be banned from the discussion. They don't want Jesus at the table. They don't want his proxy. You know what a proxy is? Mm-hmm. Dre, explain proxy then.
That's when you give someone permission to vote in your stead if you can't be present to vote.
It's the same thing like an ambassador. They don't want him there. They don't want his proxy or his ambassador there. And when you are there, they want it to be like you're not there by shutting up. That's why they don't want to hear Jesus at the table when talking about Planned Parenthood killing 19 million black babies, as well as the other babies of other nationalities, that's just as wicked as killing the black babies. But why did I mention the black babies? Is because of the fact many times the black people, the one that's complaining about certain things they can't get done, you killed your voting power. You destroyed it. You didn't act like God gave you an escape from death. You're choosing the ways of those that have a different kingdom that they serve. And yet you complain about the lives of the aliens, the illegal aliens that come across from Honduras and all of these other places, and you say you're separating the children from their parents. But when you separate 19 million black babies, when you separate so many other millions of babies from their mother, you say nothing. It's nothing. But then when you get another judge from the Supreme Court to resign this week, they start saying you're going to reverse Roe versus Wade, which would mean to you that you can't kill the babies. Well, number one, reversing it wouldn't change it anyway. It would give it back to the states. But to the people of the kingdom of God, it's never been legal. It's never been righteous. It's always been against kingdom rule. That's what they do in this kingdom, and we just happen to be in it. I wipe my mouth on there and let somebody else have something to say. You got something to say, Dre?
It just reminds me that we are in a spiritual battle. You kind of mentioned Ephesians 6, you know, you mentioned it, but I was thinking about it even know, whatever the Ephesians 4, you know, that there are demons, God's little g, out there. Oh, when I said that God's little g, I don't know if you thought about this in this psalm. I noticed, and I'm thinking of one of the things I'm doing, I think starting at about verse 19,
mm-hmm.
68.
Mm-hmm.
There about four times, let's see, once in 19, twice in verse 20, then in 24, where God is in the singular, as opposed to Elohim. I'm starting to look at that and really starting to think about, you know, what God is saying in that. And, you know, I can't exactly explain, except that I'm saying, you know, that in my mind, it has to have something to do with this battle with the demons, you know, with Bashan. And twice in verse 20, God is singular. Then in 19, to me, I'm looking at, I can't explain it yet, so I don't know if you had noticed that.
But when it says L like that, and then you look at what he's done, I have nothing to say against what you said. Nothing. As a matter of fact, you see him sometime, you see him in there, Adonai, about six times. That's sovereign. I just do what I do. My kingdom. I ain't got to ask you nothing or anything. That way I don't have a double negative, man. I know you're in school. Andrina, anything, precious love? Anybody? Elijah?
I mean, that was good.
Gary?
I enjoyed it. It was very encouraging because it's like, first of all, you dealt with reality. And I think it's really interesting because I was just listening to you talking about the, I won't say like, almost the reason why we're doing this, because God's intention for this creation, and when he said everything was good, when he created it. And so there, I like the way Romans says reconciliation. You know, in Romans 8, it's talking about reconciling us. But when you keep mentioning Deuteronomy 32, and I mean, I've been looking at some of that and reading some of that and listening to some of that. So the fact that we're here, I mean, we don't, you, I hope I'm making sense. I try to make sense if I'm not. You said, I'm not going to refrain from sharing information with this assembly that's not necessarily found in the Bible. There are allusions to some of the things that you're talking about. So you read from Enoch. Well, I don't know. I know you was going to do that, but I read probably like 30 minutes, 40 minutes, like this. I don't know what day it was. It might have been Friday, out of Enoch. And, you know, it was just good. So if we really understand that God is really, his mercy is there so that we can turn to him and obey him, because he never intended for this world to go like he did. So we're part of that process. And so I think it's good. Anne was talking the other night from Corinthians 10, and so it's good. So if our thought on what the truth is remain with us, and we can trust, I think it'll help us. Actually, I don't think it'll help us. I know it'll help us, you know, because it's really not our battle. I think of like the, while it might not come through as like the three Hebrew, I'm gonna call them young men, and the fire, they was in it. Or when Stephen was being beaten, it was happening, or all of these things. But one thing it helps me do, because there's a lot of stuff that's going on that I'd like to be different, just different. But then I'm like, okay, in the grand scheme of thing, in the fight for the kingdom, it's like, okay, this stuff gonna happen. Because I don't know what it'll be like when I go back to work this fall. I mean, one of my friends, he's gone. Another person that was helping is gone. It's like, okay, it's like, Lord, it's you, then me. I mean, they're gone. So I'm like, okay. But to have this understanding that it is a battle, and that we have to be faithful. And like you were talking about rise, it made me think of that. I guess they call it a hymn. Everything, it seemed like in the Caucasian, is a hymn. I'm like, these are hymns to us, and these are not. They say that hymn, Rise Up, O Church, Rise Up. That's a nice song. And Done With Lesser Things. I don't know all of it, but I know it goes, Rise Up, O Church. It sounds almost like an infantry or a battle type song. Mm-hmm. And so you kept saying, Rise, is he going to rise? It made me think of that song, but it was very encouraging. And it was encouraging.
Thank you.
I don't know if the children were able to, like, grasp everything, because, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all, but there was a lot of synthesis that was there. You know, so but I enjoyed it.
Anything, Drew? Okay. Well, as I end this, I want to just go over this. Give me 1 minute. The kingdom of God will rule on earth as in heaven. The real thrust is reigning. God's reign, God's kingdom, where? Heaven and in earth, heaven by angels, earth men, when, past, present, future, how, through obedience, by faith in him, by his judgments. Dominate, reign means to dominate. He dominates in heaven and earth over demons and men. And when we look at that picture, there is no weakness. There is nothing, no aspect of our life that God should not be the one sitting at the table telling us, teaching us what and how to do his will.
I have a question.
Sure.
If you can, like, if you will talk on it while we're, like, doing some of this. Excuse me. You mentioned Galatians 3:19.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why the sin was brought, because of the transgressions of men. And I don't remember where in Galatians. I think it's Galatians. Where it says how the law was mediated through angels.
But I believe that's that verse.
Okay, because I'm seeing it in my mind on the paper. So,
Tree, turn to it, because I closed my computer while I'm putting this up. Galatians 3:19, please.
Will you?